They took up that which was left of the fragments. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I didn't read to you today's long Latin epistle, which Father chanted at the altar from the Acts of the Apostles, the story of the deliverance of Saint Peter. But recall what happens. The angel comes to deliver him from prison. The room is filled with light. He strikes him on the side to wake up Peter. The chains fall off, and then the angel speaks, and he says, "Gird thyself. Remember this." We'll get back to it. After our Lord feeds the 4,000 with 7 loaves of bread, 7 for the 7 days of the week, the 7 sacraments which sustain us here below in this life, he tells them, our Lord does, "Now gather up the fragments." And they did. None of that, picnicking, sort of leaving stuff behind you on the ground. No. They gather up the fragments, enough to fill 7 baskets. There was no wasting of food back then, was there? Certainly not miracle food, this bread from heaven. They gathered up the fragments. God is not one for wasting. Everything, even the little particles that may fall from the sacred host, which are caught by the server on the golden plate he holds under your chin at communion, called the paten. Everything in our lives, every word from God's mouth, every Holy Ghost-inspired phrase in the Gospels serves a purpose. Some seemingly quirky detail, some odd memory of an evangelist, nothing is wasted in the Bible. I'm thinking of a gospel today, which you probably would never have heard. It's the last chapter of St. John's Gospel and the last account that he gives of our Lord's resurrection appearances. It's a most interesting gospel, though. Alas, it falls on Easter Wednesday. Now, by Wednesday after Easter, even the faithful, and even the very faithful, have been going at it here at church pretty steady for about a week. So come Wednesday, they're gone. And even I couldn't come up with a come on to get people back to church to hear a sermon or sing one more mass. So it's never preached, this gospel isn't. Not in the normal course of events, and that's too bad. Our Lord told Mary Magdalene, Apostle of Apostles, glorious title, that he would see them up in Galilee. So north they go after they get the word. They see the Savior. And while they're waiting to see our Lord, they go back to fishing because, of course, they have to eat. There's a figure they make out on the shore. It's dawn in the dim light. And he calls out to them, "Children," he says, "have you got anything to eat?" "No," they call back. "We've caught nothing." "Well," he said, "try putting your net out on the right side of the boat." The right side, that stands for heaven and for eternity. They do, and they catch so many fishes, it would have broken their nets, only it doesn't. How many do they catch? St. John says precisely 153. Do you remember we did this once on a Rosary Sunday sermon? Why that number? The best I can figure it is for the Rosary. The 150 Psalms of David, 150 Hail Marys, plus the 3 we say at the beginning. Because the Rosary is how you catch souls with those Hail Marys. St. John now recognizes it's our Lord, but St. Peter is the first to go to him. He jumps into the water, but first he girds himself. Remember that phrase, the instruction of the angel? And then St. John goes on to say something very curious. He says, he girds himself because he was naked. Now, all the years of my priesthood, 39 years plus, every Easter Wednesday, I've always wondered, what was St. John doing fishing naked with no clothes on? Pagans are the people, then and now, who go about undressed and consider it perfectly normal. I mean, you know, in the store, in the airport, visiting at somebody's home, it doesn't make any difference. But the Jews, they covered up, as Christians would. And surely the apostles, above all, had the virtue of modesty. Well, one of the commentators, Monsignor Knox, says that this verse in St. John is just a typical aside from the evangelist, that he remembers these odd, quirky little details that do nothing to advance the story. But is he right? Remember, God and his saints waste nothing. Scripture is all written, the apostle says, for our instruction. Do you remember what we saw with St. Francis? How he didn't even want to see the little pieces of parchment that had some holy writing on them. We would call them holy cards, or maybe pages from a book that fell out, such as you find in church on a Monday morning. He didn't even want to see them left behind on the floor, but all reverently gathered together and put into a cabinet. So what about this verse? What do we do with it? I'll spare you the Greek original and all of the scripture scholars. After all, we're not Protestants and we're not scripture scholars. But naked, it seems, just means without an outer garment. Keep this in mind on Sunday mornings. You wouldn't want to come to Mass naked. Peter was only wearing what they used to call breeches, which would be trousers, but shorter trousers, or shorts, you could say, which would be practical for the very dirty and physical work of fishing with nets. But now he's going to see our Lord. Get it? And so out of respect, he stops to put on his coat, his jacket, first. Only it's kind of a large, long, kind of a billowy garment. Out of respect. That's another telling detail. And this is what we still do today, don't we? Even in summer. Well, the point of the story, my story, is that he girded himself. In other words, he fastened the coat, he tied it in place with maybe some kind of a belt, before plunging into the water to swim to shore to see Jesus. He gets to shore, and our Lord has already started breakfast. He's got the fire going because dads like to barbecue. And St. John sees the bread and the fish laid out there, two symbols of our Lord. Our Lord still today, on the shore of eternity, feeds us every Sunday morning with prayer, a sermon, but most of all, with himself in Holy Communion. But our Lord tells the apostles in the gospel to bring the fish that they caught, to drag that into shore and to give him some, because our Lord always waits for our contribution. He doesn't do it all himself for us. So the breakfast is cooked. They sit down and eat. They have a nice conversation together. But our Lord soon brings the conversation around to that little talk he's been meaning to have with Peter. This is the gulp moment of the gospel. Peter, he asks, do you love me more than these? And now, I mean after the passion, his answer is a very humble, temperate one. He says, Lord, not, he didn't say, I love you, of course, more than everybody else in the world. No, he just says, Lord, you know that I love you. And our Lord answers, feed my lambs. Then the question and the response are repeated second time. But when he asks the question the third time, three questions for Peter's threefold denial at the Passion. This is his penance. This is his, say, three Hail Marys. Peter is sad that our Lord is bringing it up, and tears well up in his eyes, and his voice starts to shake. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Our Lord is satisfied. Feed my sheep. But the lesson is not done, not for Peter, not for us. We, this 4th of July weekend, so independent, so impetuous, we Yankee Doodle dandies, all of us, so pleased with ourselves. Jesus reminds Peter next what he had done automatically without thinking of it back in the boat. Before he jumped in, he girded himself. Is this a throwaway detail? Not. You took your coat and you fastened it. But to come to me, to follow me, to feed my lambs, to feed my sheep, to take care of all of my flock, to distribute the bread of doctrine in the wilderness, to feed the hungry with the bread of angels, in the Mass, that means, Peter, the way of the cross, and this is my way. You don't get to decide. So our Lord goes on to say, when you were young, you dressed yourself. But when you're old, somebody else will gird you and lead you where you would rather not go. Just think of old age and dependence. It's hard relying on somebody else for everything, even for getting dressed. But our Lord has in mind a different kind of a sacrifice. He means martyrdom, which means witness, that Peter will bear witness to Christ, to his death and his resurrection and his divinity. And by this witness, he will atone finally for having denied that he even knew the man. Yes, there's that again. By our death, we atone one last time for our sins. Do you remember the prayer? I accept death with all of its pains and punishment for my sins. So, our Lord says, the soldier, some soldier or another, one of these days will gird you and take you to the Vatican Hill and crucify you upside down. St. John's Gospel just about ends with the first words that Peter ever heard from our Lord in that same place, the Lake of Galilee. Follow me, he said then. And his last words to Peter, follow thou me. This is what it means to wear and to bear our common garment as Christians. This is the glory of the cross. But it is not a mantle which we throw on lightly, some little detail that doesn't really matter. No, we must gird ourselves with it daily and make sure it stays in place if ever we are to wear it. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.